There's a little bit more to the roundtable that we had in episode 5, so I'm going to present it now. There are a few different sections, and you can tell when each section starts by a little musical interlude. So please enjoy. Let the judging begin.
Hey,
who are you to judge?
Do you guys find it interesting in that at one time, not that long ago, we all agreed on virtually everything, religiously, dogmatically, and now look at us, how diverse everybody is.
I have a theory on that. Yeah. I have a theory on that. It's not true that we all agreed. It's true that we all became experts at trying to talk each other and ourselves into it.
Oh, but I
absolutely.
And once that stopped, once that charade stopped, you could not help but not only leave fast. A trail of fire. I mean, you know, Highway 29 had a trail of fire with a bunch of people just bolting.
Well, there was the peer pressure to at least say you believed a certain way. I mean, how many of us had doubts about things that were taught or even voiced those doubts in private away from, quote-unquote, leadership, but that you didn't dare speak up in public or to top leadership because you knew you were just going to get shot down? I mean, I know I did. I knew plenty of people who had ideas, but you just didn't want to upset the apple cart, and if you did upset the apple cart, you're marking a void or out the door or minimalized in some fashion.
You know, hey, when did you guys leave?
I left in 2001.
Wow.
2000, whoa. I left in 88, 89, spring of 89.
Yeah, I left the same time.
Yeah, I was out that door about 87. It was, you know, it didn't go out with a bang, went out kind of with the whimpers. Well, I can't really remember exactly what year it was, but it was around 87, and we just sort of quit going to twig, you know? So our twigs sort of ceased to exist. It was about the time that pop thing was happening, you know, and that was sort of it, you know? But I got to tell you guys, at the height of it, Lord, I believe. Jesus, I believed. I really did, you know?
See, I actually left twice. I left in 1983, not over any doctrinal issues or anything. It's we just kind of had a knockout dragout with the limb coordinator over, I can't exactly remember what it was, but it was more of a personality thing. We just butted heads, and he didn't want me around, I didn't want him around, and we just kind of did our own thing for probably 7 years. And but we still believed most of the PFAL stuff. And when our kids started hitting their teens, we wanted them to take Powerful Mental Living, so we started going again. And by this time, Werewolf was dead, and the Passing of the Patriarch was read, and the Galatian tapes were out, and a lot of things had changed.
So you came.
And we stuck around.
Go ahead.
We stuck around until right after the lawsuit. Oh, my ex-wife stayed in, but I was kicked out September, October 2001.
So you came back when we all left.
Yep. Yep, shortly after. Well, see, I didn't get the other side of the story. I mean, there was really nowhere I could get it from. I didn't know a lot of the people who left. I didn't have any contacts. You know, so all I heard was the company line about what happened with Gear and Lynn and all the other leadership who left. And
but how does, the story. How does someone, what year do you come back?
1990.
How do you come back in 1990 and then see 1993, 1994, 1995 and not leave that trail of fire I was talking about? Because I'll tell you right now, the moment that statue came out, I said, I made the right call.
Part of the reason was my ex-wife. I wanted to stay married.
Ah.
And she was a lot more brainwashed, might as well just say it, much. She was a lot more brainwashed than I was. In fact, I forget what year it was. It was the mid-90s. It might have been 96. There was a situation came up. I felt that the the limb coordinator had pushed things too far, or maybe it's just the branch coordinator. He pushed things too far. I told him where he can stick it, and we went home. And when we got there, my ex, my wife at the time, did not back me up. Pretty much made it clear that she was sticking with the ministry, and if I didn't, then I wasn't standing with God, and yada, yada, yada. So I backed down, and I stuck around for a few more years.
Isn't it, it just strikes me as so odd that what we do as people is unimportant. It's what we believe that's the crucial thing, at least, you know, from a ministry point of view. It just strikes me so odd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you be an axe murderer or whatever, but, you know, you believe the right stuff. Well, hey, you're a pretty good person. And, you know, this axe murdering thing, well, you know, that's something you got to renew your mind about. You know, you probably ought to work on that a little bit. But, you know, you believe so well, hey, you're one of the chosen ones, so you're
as
cool.
As long as you're in fellowship.
Yeah.
But
that's
still, you got that chainsaw, though.
That was a
go ahead.
Even in the 90s, when I saw things going wrong and things I didn't agree with, I still, some part of me still believed, well, this is the place where, quote-unquote, the word is being taught. I was not aware of the different offshoots and things like that at that time. I thought this is, you know, even though there's bad things going on and there's, you know, I rationalized a lot of the things away. So this guy is just a rogue Wakehor. After he's gone, everything will be fine. And it was actually when I started looking at Waydale and started seeing, well, no, this isn't an isolated incident. This crap is happening all over the country. That really opened my eyes. And now I sacrifice virgins to Satan.
There you go. Well, it all has a happy ending there.
And they lived happily ever after. It's, you know, I'm really grateful for everything that's been done on the net with regard to all this stuff, and really the opportunity to reconnect with a lot of people. And by that, I don't mean the people that I knew, but I mean with the people that I wanted to know. And I mean the only person on Grace Spot I knew before was Word Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else I met post Grace Spot, I've not reconnected with a single friend. But I've reconnected with ideas. I've reconnected with the kind of people that I wanted to get to know in the first place when I came there. You know, I wanted to meet the nutty loner from Arkansas who, you know, aside from our appreciation of this Bible thing, we have nothing in common. I wanted to meet that guy. Well, I never met him in the way. So I met him here, you know. So, Arky Ron, this bud's for you. Ron G now. The wacky dentist and the sleepless in Seattle dude and the warlock. You know, Oakspear.
Yes.
I still stand by what I said in the hotel room, you know, where we were having that party in the bathroom.
The broom thing,
yeah, absolutely.
Do you need
absolutely.
To explain, that you two were having a party in the bathroom?
Party in the pastor's room was at Cindy and Steve's wedding when everybody, no, Oakspear and I have never partied in a bathroom as far as I'm aware. Then again, there was a lot of drinking.
Not that there would be anything wrong with that.
No, that's for Brokeback Cafe,
different
message board. I had mentioned that, you know, given a choice between sitting there and speaking a language I had never spoken before and never studied, or flying on a broomstick, I'm picking the broom. I don't know what you guys think, but I'll take the broomstick.
Just I haven't seen it cool. done yet myself.
It is the what is it, the evidence in the sense of senses realm of the internal presence and power of Harry Potter, which I'm sure drives
Glory.
A couple of people nuts. Glory. Glory.
And it sits there like a duck.
Like a duck. See, I'd like to just listen to Powerful Fun Living Again. Just for those things. That would just be fun to have a
yep.
few beers and sit around and listen to the Powerful Fun Living. You know, his golf anthem, the golf ball joke.
The bicycle with the...
Golf know. Ball? Golf ball? That's not ringing a bell.
I don't remember the golf ball joke.
I was ant on the golf ball. Something about the punchline was the safest place to be
yeah.
is on the ball. You know, and his hold in the Jesus Christ, what the heck was it? It's one of the segments that they took out.
Oh,
Jesus
okay.
Christ died, where he says, and he broke their legs so they wouldn't run away.
Yeah, that would actually be fun. That would be fun to take the whole thing and take out all the funny stuff and just put that together on a reel.
I think what we need to do is give that a Mystery Science Theater treatment.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I want to sit there and listen to
all
36
hours.
No.
Pick 40 minutes or something.
A good day.
You get, like, you know, get 12 groups together to do this, and, you know, everybody has their fun with one session.
The PFAL project.
I don't know. There are a lot of those things. And, you know, I got to tell you guys the truth. Back when I was in, I mean, I was really trying to get folks in, but when they sort of made this rule that if you were under-shepherding someone through, you had to also sit through it again. Made you a lot less like, you know, want to get someone in there if you're going to have to sit through this thing again. But yet you had to act like you were really looking forward to sitting through the PFAL again. And you'd hear me
laugh at the jokes.
I've sat through it 20 times, and, you know, I always get something new out of it.
I never laughed at the jokes. I could never bring myself to be that phony. Gosh, I could never do it. The safest place to be is on the ball. And I couldn't do it. It wasn't in me.
That one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go.
I'm glad I don't get paid for my stories.
I didn't laugh at that in grade school, but I think I did drink the Kool-Aid on the PFL class. I think I did laugh.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well,
I got to confess, you know. The real funny thing is I could have been such a good little wafer. I really could have. It just, you know, they went and fired everyone I knew, you know. It just took the incentive away.
You weren't in that long, were you?
About an hour.
Now, you had to have been in for at least 33 hours to take the class, right?
Yeah, something like that. I actually got in. I got in October of 1988 and was gone in August of 89. So we're not talking very long at all. That's it. But if you count offshoot time, I was in for about 10 years.
You guys missed the WAP class.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my big regrets. If only I'd have stayed around for that, I'm sure things would have come out better. Oh, my.
It amazes me, these people who stayed through that, people who went through PFAL, and then set through, the people who are still in the Way Ministry, who
are seriously peculiar.
Back in the 70s, and they're still buying all of it. You know what I'm saying? Those, and I know two people who are still in, and one of which... Every time I hear him mentioned on the boards, everybody says, what a nice guy he is, you know? And he's still in, and he's got to be buying all this change in theology.
I'm sorry. I think that the more you realize the history, then the myth has to unravel. It just must. When you talk about somebody who Mike for example talks about resisting temptation more than he succumbed to it, and I think it's not a matter of resisting temptation. The man was a predator.
Mm-hmm.
This is not somebody who succumbed to temptation. Oh my God, she's standing here before me without her clothes on. What do I do? Do I stand for the word or do I jump her bones? No, she is all unsuspecting, going into the motor coach. He's there with an open robe and a drambuie and a cigarette. Hello, this is not the actions of somebody who's even trying to resist temptation. This guy's not only not resisting temptation, he's sending it an invitation and asking it to come on over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but was it a man giving in to temptation or a predator, you see?
No, and that's what I'm saying. It's predator. This is when once you make that leap, once you say this isn't just adultery, this is predatory behavior, you cannot see things the same way after that. And I know that the werewolites will argue with me on this one, but I am comfortable saying it. This was predatory behavior.
Word that he taught.
Oh, yeah, but, a predator can say some really nice things. That's how they get close.
That's what people don't get. The werewolf worshippers don't get. A con man is a con man not because he's an asshole, but because he's very gifted at winning your confidence. They're nice people to be around.
That's right. How
they do their job. God.
You ever see the Music Man? I mean, goodness. He goes there, charms the whole freaking town. He's stealing their money the whole time. But, the music he brought to our community.
But
God.
He turned out good in the end, didn't he?
No, I still think he was a schmuck.
Yeah, see, in the end, he was a pretty good guy in the end. So, but like I said, so all in all,
yes,
I'm
but
glad
that was not a band. You see, that's the key there. In the end, he turned out to be a really nice guy, but that was not a band, and this was not biblical research. This is not biblical research, teaching, and fellowship. You know, we as individuals, we brought so much to the table that if we had not brought it to the table, the guy would have just been up there in handcuffs with a baton in his hand, saying, "All right, kids, play." Anybody who has not seen The Music Man is wondering what the hell I'm talking about.
It's a good movie. They obviously haven't been to the nostalgia thread.
That's it. Now I have to go into the nostalgia thread just to, because I know you're going to come through. So I'm the only one who gave a favorite poster. Everybody else was like, yeah, Dave Miller, yeah he's
we
cool.
We planned it when you had left for a few minutes.
I don't know that I've got a favorite poster.
I
have a favorite poster, but I just wasn't going to say it because he's in this conference call. It's George. Probably my favorite.
All us agnostics have to stick together.
Absolutely.
That's 3 out of 5 of you. For the record.
Yeah, we got the church, man. We're going to have to excommunicate the rest of you.
Yes, it's there are times when it's like, the company of the religious folks among us makes me think, maybe I just don't want to think I'm religious at the moment. Maybe I want to say, no, I'm not with him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a certain element of when George and Pseudo and I will question some things, there's certain folks on the board who will just, oh, there's them atheists again. No, no, we're not atheists. We're agnostics. Yeah, yeah, whatever. and the conversation moves on. Don't pay any attention to them. We really did see miracles. My car did get a parking space in front of the library.
Or I drove all day.
Have you ever tried to park in front of the library?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's a bad example.
I don't know. I just you talk to someone like Dave, you know, Word Wolf and X10 and some of these folks who are religious, very reasonable people, very heartfelt. Who am I thinking of? There's someone else I'm thinking of, and for some reason my head is not connecting the name with the face. The face, of course, is Elvis Presley.
The name I can't remember.
Kitzober. Oh, yeah, just the kindest heart in the world. And you think, oh,
he is.
I can get along with all these folks. Oh, yes, I have no problem being in their company. And then, you know, come along. You know?
Maybe there's one I can't get along with.
I kind of understood that bridge story, that bridge joke that Pseudo was telling.
Pushed him off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would be conference of 1942. I heretic, and threw him off the bridge. Yeah, I really don't get how anybody can believe these snowstorm stories. I'm sorry.
Well, I did. I believed it.
The moment I first heard the first snowstorm story, I didn't hear the second one until I was long gone. But the moment I first heard the first snowstorm story, I said, well, that's horse hockey. But, you know, he's teaching some good stuff. That was it. And that was the extent of it. I had no idea it was given as much weight as it was.
Even if you believed it at one time, after hearing or reading all that we've read on it, why would you still believe it? That's what gets me.
It was early October. It does not snow in Ohio in early October. What else do you need to know?
It was angels on the roof with snowblowers, okay?
That's what it was.
That's what it was.
And you know
what? Angels on the roof.
In all seriousness, what I found most revealing is in Carl Collar's book when he's finally confronted on the Tulsa snowstorm, and his immediate response is, well, it must have been angels I was talking to. You know, I was in New York the night, and I think I wrote this down, the night of the Little Chester shoe store shooting in New York. This guy goes into his shoe store, asks for a pair of sneakers. They don't have it. He shoots everyone, kills 5 people, including a mother and her 2 sons. And I remember covering that. I remember it very vividly. It snowed very, very heavily that day. And I remember this for a number of reasons. One, I lived through it and I was freezing. 2, I got into a fender bender on the way to the scene. And 3, it took me forever to drive to the office after this. So all these things, I remember that it snowed the day of the Little Chester shoe store shooting. Now, if you were to go to Google right now, look up Little Chester shoe store shooting and try to find out if it snowed or not, and came to me with concrete information that said it did not snow the night of the Little Chester shoe store shooting, my first reaction to you would be, your information is wrong. It snowed that day. But his first reaction was, must have been angels.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Horse hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Bulls hit.
Yeah, this is where, you know, what I look at, you know, those situations, it's documented, it's demonstrated that the man lied. The plagiarism, it's documented that he did that. Why should we take anything this guy says or wrote at face value? Every... every word, every punctuation, the spaces between the words, the page numbers we should question. Is that really page three?
Well, okay, what about that's taking skepticism a little too far.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what about American Christian Press? I mean, it just shocked the hell out of me when I heard that V.G. Leonard's printing company or publishing company was called Canadian Christian Press. And I thought, my God, you know, Werewolf is so unoriginal. He could, what can I call my company? American Christian Press. I mean, God, that's as far as he could go with it. I mean, the man, I don't know. I mean, he had... What did he have on the ball? What was it?
He was a confidence man.
Everything he had that was something he took from somebody else. I don't understand what the man's ability was. I mean, he had some ability. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you don't put together a multimillion-dollar con by being a blockhead. But, you know, trying to nail down what was his gift, what was it that he had that really made it all happen, I don't know. He wasn't a good teacher. No, damn it, I don't buy that. He was boring as hell. He was not a good teacher. You know, the teachings were not the highlight of it. That isn't not what got me involved in Way World, I guarantee. You know, sleeping through PFL class 15 or 20 times wasn't what riveted me and got me involved in the organization. So I don't know what was the man's ability. What was that he had? What was that something that put him over the top that made him into the uber-successful world of con men?
Grace. You think I'm kidding, but that's it. Look it up. Bottom line, every single person who loved the Way Ministry loved it for the grace. What did you like about the Way Ministry? I could sleep with anyone.
I wouldn't call it grace, and I would call it license, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I know, and I completely agree with you on that. Yeah. I'm saying what they were calling it.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You and I can look at it now.
The license to do whatever the hell you want. Yeah, you can go to porno flicks, smoke cigarettes, do whatever you want, and it's cool, because you're in fellowship, yeah. Yeah, that was a draw.
It's like Carl said in his book, you could rob a bank, but as long as you're in fellowship, you're okay.
Yeah.
My goodness. No.
I think he did, one thing he did do, I think, as far as his teaching went, quote-unquote his teaching, is he plausibly undermined what mainstream Christianity was teaching.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He introduced enough doubt. Now, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was a church-going guy, and I wanted to believe. But he introduced enough doubts in what mainstream Christianity was teaching that I didn't want to trust them. He had just enough to back up what he was saying to say, oh, well, look, he's reading it right out of the Bible, and it built that trust. No, he wasn't I didn't think he was a great dynamic teacher, and you know, the grace certainly had something to do with it, but even on the teaching side, it was just enough. It was just a wedge to get you to distrust everything you had ever heard, and he had just enough that he would read you out of the Bible that you hardly noticed when he was pulling definitions out of his ear and creative interpretations of verses and things like that. You hardly knew what was being thrown at you. And before you know it, you were quoting things that there was absolutely no basis for other than he said it.
Yep.
Because he slowly got you into it. And you go back and analyze how PFAL moved along. I mean, he doesn't just pop right up with Jesus Christ is not God. He hardly mentions it. I mean, you know, as one example of something that is the opposite of Orthodox Christianity, he barely mentions that in PFAL. He kind of throws it in the middle of a ramble about John 1:1, you know, or even speaking in tongues. You know, it takes him, you know, the ninth session before he even gets into speaking in tongues. He just little by little undermines everything you've ever believed in and starts building himself up. You know, you're buying it before you even know it.
I'd like to bring something up too. And it's I haven't seen anybody address this. We don't know for sure why he did it. I don't know if it was a covering himself for litigation, but when he deeded all of his property and his home, his family ancestral home, over to the Way Ministry, if that was to keep himself out of maybe any litigation, had somebody filed something, or maybe it was something no more extreme than he was going to avoid paying tax.
Don thought it was true, and I think that says a lot that about their relationship. That if either what was written there was true, or their relationship was so bad that he could read it and think it was true, one or the other has to be right. But I don't know. I just look at the way he treated
The way he treated Don, though, and that wasn't in passing of the patriarch. I mean, Don Werewolf made no bones about that. You know, they didn't have a good relationship. You know, they didn't didn't like each other all that much. You know, he wasn't close to his dad growing up. Mrs. Werewolf, you know, what's his name? Oh, shoot. The snapping, the cult that snapped.
Carl Keller.
Yeah, Carl. He quotes Mrs. Werewolf as saying that at Werewolf's burial, she said he was a mean man. And, you know, I don't doubt that. You know, I don't doubt he was an asshole to everybody around him. Mm-hmm. I don't think he cared about anybody around him. I think he cared about himself.
I can't see anything else with him deeding that land to the Way Ministry. I don't, even if he thought there's a possibility that, you know, that the werewolves would always sort of be in control, he knew he wasn't passing the presidency on to Dean Dodd. He knew that wasn't happening. So he obviously didn't care to make sure that that property was going to stay in the family.
Yeah. And like I say, that was all spelled out in that tax seminar thing I took, you know, 30 years ago. It was all spelled out then. That was how you did things if you want to dodge taxes. And I think that's really what it was all about, you know, let alone having the tax-exempt status besides. But then you don't pay any income tax yourself, and, you know.
And you still have access to the land. Yeah. You still have access to everything.
Right.
Yeah, you got access to everything. You just don't pay any taxes on any of it. And I don't doubt for a minute that that was the sole reason for doing all of that.
Well, and he still looked at everything as his personal, his little personal kingdom. I mean, you see that the VP and Me thread that Werewolf started a while back, where Werewolf rips into Martindale for bringing him his personal Cushman, yells at him and tells him, "Don't touch my stuff."
Yeah.
Don't mess with my stuff.
Yeah, my stuff. Well, I mean, he would drop everything. I know he came up to Minnesota one time. He wanted to go fishing one weekend. Mm-hmm. Well, they come up with the motor coach hauling this. I mean, you got the motor coach, right? 100 feet of Greyhound bus, basically, packed with all of his toys. Then he's got this monster trailer behind that, packed with even more toys. Mm-hmm. And they trundle all the way up to Minnesota in that thing so he can go fishing for the week. And, you know, what did it cost him? Nothing. You know, it wasn't any money out of his pocket. It was all, he was up there to, and he does a fellowship or something in Bemidji for the night, and that's that. So he's up there on his mission, and, you know, he goes fishing for the week. You know, the man lived like he wanted to live.
Yeah, he had it pretty well. He really did.
Yeah, and then hop in his plane and, you know, fly around the world. And if that wasn't good enough, then he could hop in the SST and, you know, fly to England or fly over to see Chris Gere and see what he's doing over there. You know, it's like, I forget what that what the Concorde cost. It was, what, 10 grand or something for a round trip ticket on that thing?
Pretty expensive. I don't know if it was 10 grand, but it was expensive.
Yeah. It was big money. Because the thing only seated, you know, 80 or 100 people or something, and it ticked like three or four times the fuel and all of that, and then had to have special high-test, well-trained pilots. And
only the best for
only a couple
of
airports could handle it. And,
Only the best for the man of gold.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, so he did whatever he wanted to do. I mean, you can't tell me that was instrumental for the move of the word that he climbed on the Concorde to fly to fly over to see gear over in Scotland. You know, give me a break. But God forbid if one of the wafers did that with their money and they didn't abundantly share off of that. Oh, God, they would have got ripped into. What are you doing with God's money? Oh, me. Oh, we were so gullible.
Yeah, we were.
Unbelievable. Well,
should we?
Well, I think I'm going to fix some dinner, yeah, folks. It's getting that time of night for me. So
I was going to say we should probably wrap this up. It's been great, great talking with everybody. It's like,
hey, yeah, it was
2 hours. We ought to be able to get like 15 minutes out of it, but it'll be good, you know. I appreciate everybody's help and stuff tonight. Mental.
Oh yeah.
Well,
good night, gentlemen.
I just enjoyed hearing everybody's voice.
Same here. Same here. Thanks again. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Okay. So long. Bye.